Welcome to the Second Mile Church Podcast, where we believe deeper friendships, a bigger God, and fuller lives in Christ are found in the second mile.
Well, good morning. If you're visiting for the first time, welcome to Second Mile Church. My name is Adam, and you've come on a great day. I just believe God's doing a work this morning. And I want to provide some meat to what he's doing. This is the truth, amen? And I believe if you'll give me just a moment to share some of the truth to what I believe God's doing spiritually in this room, I believe our time together will be maximized. And it's going to be even a different ending to the service that I just feel led to do this morning. And so Joshua chapter 4, the people of Israel are the people of God. Since the beginning, that's been the case all throughout Scripture. As we look at the history of mankind and see how God formed things and shaped things and how he had his hand and heart with the people of Israel. They went through a time of exile and just wandering and wilderness experience. Meanwhile, God had promised Moses that, hey, I'm going to get you back to the promised land. Canaan land is just in sight. To my old school singers in the room. There's a promised land for you to inherit again. It's yours. There's people that are occupying it right now, but don't worry about that because I'm going to even take care of all the details. But there's a promise I've given you that if you will follow me and obey me and hear me, I will make sure to fulfill that promise. And I'm not even sure that, let me just clarify, God promises stuff whether we follow it or not. So anything he promises, he will fulfill. Let me get that clear. We get to choose whether we get to be a part of it or not. All right, so Joshua chapter 4, in the story of the book of Joshua opens up with, hey, he gave Moses this promise that the people of Israel is going to inherit the promised land where Israel now resides, but now Moses is dead. The leader that has led us through the wilderness and even out of all of that, almost to the edge of where we can see it, he's now dead and can't enter in. But Joshua is the one that is appointed and anointed to carry the people of God into the promised land. And so he sends spies into the land to just scope it out. They land in Rahab's house in Jericho, the first city they come to. They come back and share their update with Joshua, and Joshua then gets a word from the Lord that, hey, it's time. It's time to cross over. It's time to inherit the promise that I've given you years ago. And so you need to instruct the people on what to do. And this is chapter 4 where we pick up. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Please forgive me. Jonathan, I'll let you make that change as you can. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, and he and all the people lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people this. I want you to pay attention to this. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. All right, so the commanders give these instructions to the people that were passed down from Joshua. As soon as you see the priest carrying the ark, then you shall set out from your place and what? Follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in or under it. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you should go. For you have not passed this way before. Here we see the people of God getting some instructions. And as soon as you see the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the glory of God. Last week at Church on the Beach, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant being a place, a thing that represented the glory, the presence, and power of God. And as soon as you see the priest carrying it out, we want you to go follow it because you've never experienced it before. You've never gone this way before. And so I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how great you are. I don't care how amazing your systems and things that you've got in place are in your life or in your church. Uh-oh. If you don't follow the glory, you're going to be lost. If you don't follow the thing that I have, that I reside in, I reside on, I sit in, if you don't follow the presence of God, no matter how good you are, you will be lost because you haven't navigated tomorrow. Verse 4 says, they will guide you because you've never gone that way before. Has anybody lived in August 7th, 2023 yet? Talk to me. Have you walked out this coming week yet? No. So we can all agree that our next steps are steps we've never navigated before. Are we all on the same page? And if let me just speak to everybody in the room, I don't care how spiritual or non-spiritual you are, if you attempt to do that on your own power and will, you will be lost. But when you see the presence of God moving, I want you to follow it because that's going to be the thing that guides you. Verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate or purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Listen to me. If you knew that there was a miracle ahead of you and he told you to purify yourself, consecrate yourself, what would be your response? Man, if I'm going to see God do something incredible and he's asking me to just approach him with a pure heart, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This is for somebody today. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant that when you come to the brink or the bank of the waters, the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. All right? And Joshua said to the people, come here. Listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All these sites. Before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is passing over. before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant shall rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. Let me explain what's going on here. You can read other translations. You can even study this passage of scripture in other context, in other ways. But the Jordan River is not that big of a river in some parts. But it was harvest season during this time. Some translations explain that more specifically. We'll get there. But in harvest season, there is a flooding of the Jordan. The other translations say it was an overflowing river on this particular day. And I think that's the perfect situation for a miracle. I don't know what you've come in this room with this morning, but can I tell you, miracles don't happen when everything's going good. There's a lot of people that chase miracles and different things in that vein. You better be careful just chasing miracles, because miracles don't happen when everything's good. Miracles happen when everything's overflowing, when things are troubled, when obstacles may be in our way, when bad news has been shared. And in verse 15, we find an overflowing river. Verse 14, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. And it says, now the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose in one heap at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those waters flowing down to the sea, the Dead Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite of Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on the ground in the midst of the Jordan until all of Israel had passed to dry ground. This morning, I truly wanted to share with you something that God has shared with me. There are things, and this is a shift with me, with maybe the way church happens, but church strategy, things that make church hype, maybe the going phrase now. I would even say things that get people to church are not going to work in the culture we live in moving forward. That doesn't, I'm to work alone. Let me say that. Because I truly am a fan of meeting people's needs, even social needs, and having community things and doing fun stuff, all of that, no matter their spiritual condition, right? But the next season of growth, I believe, will be because of people anticipating what God wants to do next. And I'm tired of going into Sunday mornings and small groups and other things that we do and do well and want to continue to do because they have their place in discipleship and community and fellowship. But I'm tired of going through the routine of watching church happen and missing God happen. I hope you hear me this morning. I'm not opposed to what we do or any church does. I think it's a both and equation. But as I shared with our volunteers this morning around the circle, setting up this building, preparing kids' curriculum and teaching material and making coffee and practicing and then playing and doing all of the production stuff. Listen, that is nothing but noise without the presence of God. That will lead us astray if we don't anticipate and expect the presence of God to lead us in every way we go. In the next season of your growth, let me slow down. I want Second Mile Church to grow because that represents souls. But I could care less if it's just random butts in the seat, if that means the presence of God isn't here. I believe the presence of God will bring the next season of growth because you will be anticipating what God's going to do next. You will be expecting and wondering, what will God do this Sunday? What will God do at small group this week? What will God do? When's the last time you've asked, what will God do? What if God does? Listen, you don't see shooting stars unless you're looking up, right? Does that mean they don't happen? Just means you weren't anticipating it. Things happen. God has not stopped moving. God has not planned to stop moving. He wants to move. He is moving on the face of this earth. There are things happening. There are churches experiencing the power and presence of God. But can I tell you, I want to be a church that doesn't miss it because we're anticipating it. We're expecting it. We're inviting it. We're making room for it. We want to see signs and wonders follow those that believe so that it can be a sign to the unbeliever. And so, can I just tell you, if the Jordan stopped and split, we talk about the Red Sea parting, we talk about all that, and then there's people that try to negate that and say, well, it was really shallow and sometimes it dries up. Can I tell you this right here? The water was overflowing the banks. There was no drying up. There was no science to try to describe this away. And the only way that the miracle happened was for the priest to step in the water, was for the people of God who host the presence of God step into the water that was overflowing. And so, can I invite you this morning? We're going to share, and I want Beth to just get ready to come up here, but I want to invite you to a few steps this morning. If God's going to do something great in your life, in your family's life, in your church, it may require you stepping into the miracle. Even the people of God, can you imagine seeing that? And yeah, the priest might be like, yeah, I expected this by bearing the Ark of the Covenant. But the people watching on the banks of the river, watching this happen and seeing the water stop up and the rest keep flowing down and nothing else happening right here, the water's just staying still. Can you imagine what they were having to process? They saw it, but they didn't experience it till they walked across. They saw it. So we can watch God from a distance and be like, man, that was good. Or we can say, no, I want to be a part of it. And I'm going to step into the water myself, or into the river bed. And I'm going to step in where this was just overflowing just a few moments ago, way over my head, and now it's dry ground, and I'm going to walk to the other side and take the land that God has promised me. The water is stopped. We look at water in John chapter 5, where the water is stirred. John chapter 5, it's the pool, the sheep gate pool. And we see multitudes of invalids in verse 3, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Here, this situation in John chapter 5, an angel of the Lord would come and stir the waters in this pool. And while the waters are stirred, people could get in and truly healing, divine healing would take place in their life. I've been to this particular place in Jerusalem myself. I've seen the porches and the decks that invalids would lay on and sit on. And I've seen the hole in the ground where water was stirred at one point that we find here in Scripture. And here's one man for 38 years. He's watched healings take place, but never was a part of it. He's watched miracles happen right before his eyes, and yet he hasn't been able to experience it for 38 years. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" And here's his excuse: "I don't have someone." We've all got excuses. We've all got excuses. I understand. Siri, come at me. But there's somebody even in this room that's waiting on a somebody to fix your situation. Somebody that's hurt you. Somebody that's done you wrong. Somebody that owes you something. Somebody that needs to do something for you to somehow switch your train of thought in your situation. And Jesus is saying, "Do you want to be healed?" And you've got a choice whether to say, "I'm waiting on somebody," or just simply say yes. Because at this point, we can follow this. Jesus didn't take that man and dip him in the water. Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" And when he, let me just read it. "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool, or while I'm trying to get there, someone gets in before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked. Ben, you can come back. Beth, can I invite you this way? Beth Wirch, not to be confused with Beth Raspberry. But she's gotten married in the last several weeks and a couple months, and I want to give you that. But Beth, this theater holds a story, because I was here when I got a phone call from you months and months ago. Could you share what that phone call was like and just share your quick story here?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it was the first Sunday in April, and I was sitting in the second row, and I got a text from my mom. And she said, my ex-husband, his name is Paul, has been in a bad car wreck, and my middle son, Ashton, was taking him to Duke. And immediately, without question, I grabbed my stuff. I started walking out, and then I stopped. And I went in, and I looked at Amy and waved her over to come pray over me. And I told her, I said, I need you to stand in agreement with me. I know that I need to go, and I need God to give me the strength to do this. So, and in just a little bit, my ex-husband and I, we've been divorced since 2021. We were married for 19 years. And through that, there's been a lot of forgiveness. So some of this part of it is about the forgiveness piece. But Amy prayed over me. I got in the car. I made sure with Ashton, he asked his dad if it was okay if I could come because I knew I was supposed to. So I did. I drove up. I got there. We didn't understand the magnitude of the situation. The doctors didn't either. I wound up leaving that night because we thought things were going to be okay. I got a call on my way back to Wilmington. So mind you, I went to Duke Raleigh. So I had driven up about 2.5 hours. I was almost back to Wilmington. I got a call, and the doctor said that he had major injuries. So he had a hematoma in his cervical spine. He had dissection of his vessels in his neck, and he had a boatload of lytigamous damage. Now, at the time, some of that I understood because, as I was sharing with Adam, a year prior, God took me out of my role in the school system to go back and be a medical case manager. So I was working with people, so I understood a little bit about what they said. Got home. I said, I'm coming back. I got home, got my oldest son, Luke. We drove back. But before that, I walked in and I said to my fiance at the time, I got to go back. This is what I have to do. And without hesitation, he said, here's the credit card. Do what you need to do.
Which is a miracle there.
It is, because he never hesitated. He didn't question my intentions. He knew this is what I had to do. And so that is a testimony in itself. So I drove back with Luke. We get up there. We were told he needed emergency surgery and was being transferred to Duke Durham. We get there, waited through the night. In the morning, I had a doctor come in, said he needed emergency surgery. It was life or death. He needed to sign on the dotted line. Well, me being in my job role, I want to know why. What are you talking about? Like, I need to understand. Show me the films. I don't see what you're talking about. I was just very firm. And she turned around and she said, we don't know how he's alive. We cannot explain it. He should have died at the scene with one of these injuries. He has three. That point, I understood, right? And they said, none of this is making sense. We had to call the top doctor in. And one of the biggest decisions that was made when my son Ashton got home was to take him to Duke. So, and that was a God thing too. So the surgeon came in, he told all of us, and mind you, I'm sitting there with his family. They welcomed me in. Nobody worried about anything. They were thankful I was there. And the doctor said to us, we don't know how he's alive. We don't know if he's going to survive the surgery. He's going to need a fusion. And we don't know. We just don't know. It's a lot of damage. So we just sat there and we believed that God is going to heal him. He got him this far. And I'm just going to share just a little bit of this, not a lot, but just so you understand, I mentioned about the injuries he had. When the accident happened, Paul estimates it happened around 2:00 in the morning. He walked to a house that's less than a mile from where the accident was, because these are country roads, country miles. He walked to the first house and he asked them, could they help him? And they said no. So he kept walking. He walked all the way to my son's house, which was through the fields on a wood line. It was my neighbor about 7:00 in the morning. So there's 5 hours there. Paul says that he was weak and he laid down and he got up and he kept walking. My neighbor saw him crossing the yard and went out there and was like, what is going on? And that's who called my son. So it wasn't like somebody helped him along the way. But it was the neighbor, but not the first place he stopped.
Wow.
So understanding the magnitude of these injuries, and they can't explain how he lived, he also walked about 3 miles after the after the wreck. So the doctor explains it to us. He says, we're going to have to fuse his neck. We don't know if he's going to survive. We said, what's the prognosis after he has the fusion? And the doctor says, well, you know, he won't be able to turn his head. And somebody, and I don't remember if it was his parents or who, asked, will this hardware stay with him forever? And he says, the doctor says, well, you know, I have seen it where the ligaments, you know, the ligaments do return, they grow back, and we could possibly take the hardware out. He said, but that I've never seen it happen in an adult. It's only happened in a child, and it's extremely rare. Mind you, this is the top surgeon at Duke, and he's done these surgeries, so he knew. So, of course, I called Adam. And let me back up from that. As soon as he said that, my oldest son, Luke, who's 22 years old, looked at him and said, well, we believe that God's going to do it. And we just were all like, amen. Yes, we'll believe it, you know. But he said it's rare. And the doctor was just kind of like, okay. So I called Adam, and I told him, you know, what was going on. And I said, you know, I'm just going to pray that God will just reattach. And Adam said, no, I believe they're going to regrow. And right then it dropped in my spirit, and I said, absolutely. And we prayed on the phone, and I believed, I stood in agreement that that is what God would do, because he can do it.
Amen.
And so he had the surgery. Things went really well. I left. And then Paul went for his visits. At his three-month visit, this was in July, the doctor did his MRI. Mind you, he's been doing the MRIs every visit, every month. This three-month visit, God did the MRI. And he said, the doctor did the MRI. God did the healing. And the doctor said, your MRI is normal. All of it has regrown. And we don't know what to do. Wow. Because he'd never seen it happen, not in an adult.
Yeah.
Not in 3 months. So then Paul, like, of course, he gave God the glory in the room. And the doctor said, what do you want to do? And Paul said, I don't know. He said, well, can I get the hardware out?
Wow.
You know, because I can move my neck. And the doctor said, I don't know. I've never done it. He said, I'm not sure. But if you want to, we can. And so it's possible he will get it. But he has more movement in his neck already. And God did it. And when we were in that, when we were going through that, and the people in the emergency room would say to me, I couldn't do what you're doing for my ex-husband. And I would tell them, it's not about me at all. That's not it. And I was sitting there, and I was in the hallway just crying at the goodness of God all the way through it. Not just at the end, but all the way through it. Because the Word tells us that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
That is all things. Even in the midst of what we're walking through and we don't see it, there's good. And that's my testimony.
Come on. Can you stand and give God praise for that this morning? And what's so odd about this is, both times you called me, one with the tragic news about surgery looming. The next time I was walking these halls, and the Lord did. He dropped it in my spirit. I don't have to heal what's there. I can create anew. I'm a creator. And I was praying with you over the phone, walking these halls here. The next time you called me, I was here at the theater again, just happened to find me. And it was news about him being healed. And so between the two calls is where some of you are today. You're between the call of where something has started, and it's brought pain. It's brought tragedy. It's brought hardship to you. And you're waiting on the next call to somehow where there's victory in it. And so Thank you, Beth. This past week, my family had a chance to sneak away and do a few things for fun and go visit some family in Georgia and Tennessee. On our way, we stopped at Carowinds. Enjoyed most of the day there. As I'm walking out of the park after a fun day, there were other people just moving out as well, headed to their cars. And Eric, I didn't hear any of those people that had just enjoyed a fun day. I didn't hear them saying, you know what? I think I'm going to do something about this fear and depression and anxiety. We went to a Braves game the next day. We watched 12 runs get put on the board. It was an active game, a fun game where the Braves won. And after the final out in the ninth inning, everybody's going back to their car. Not one time did I hear a husband say, you know what? I think now I'm going to work on my marriage. This movie theater is filled with people coming and going, and as many times as I've been here, I've never watched somebody walk out of a movie theater and say, you know what, I'm tired of this life with alcohol and drugs. I think I'm going to pursue healing for it. Pastor, what are you talking about? There are tons of good things that we get to experience every single day. But it doesn't change us. You have been divinely brought to this room this morning to where you get to face whether or not you want to be delivered from your alcohol, whether you want your marriage restored this morning, whether you want healing to take place in your body today. You get a choice to step in the river this morning. Psalm 77:14 says, you are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. Matthew 19 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Acts 3:16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know who was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. Job 5:8-9 says, but if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him because he is the one who performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Mark 16:17, just moments before Jesus ascended to the Father, he told his disciples, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. The word sign here is simply meaning a signature that guarantees authenticity. So today, this is your informal dismissal this morning. They're going to sing, but I'm going to go old school on church today. If you need God to meet you where you are in your situation, I want you to make your way down to this area, as far down as you possibly can. And we're going to gather around you and pray with you. Listen, through text that was sent out last night, where we invited people to church today and even invited them to text us what their prayer need is, what they're needing God to do in their life. I need God in God's will in my relationship. Pray for my mouth and my thoughts that come to my mind. Pray for salvation for my children and my family. Praying for a godly relationship. It just kept coming in. Even as early as this morning, we've had 3 or 4 come in. Thank you. I needed this tonight to know that there's a church praying for me. I need a miracle in my mom's health. I need a miracle in finance and relationship. And I needed this. So this morning, as you see fit to dismiss yourself, if you need a miracle this morning in your life, if you need God to just be present in your situation, would you move down to this area over here? I want you to move right now. This is your moment. You've heard the testimony of God's faithfulness. You've heard the truth of His word. We've invited Him into this room through worship. And now is the time. The ark has moved. The presence of God is in this room. I believe that. And we get a chance to invite Him into our situation. If you need a miracle this morning, would you come? Yeah. We normally do this in different ways, but this morning I just want you to come as close as you can this morning. And if you're a praying person this morning who knows how to touch heaven and be a support to your brother and sister down here, wherever they are, would you find someone, church family, to come and pray with? Come on, I'm gonna pray with you, but it's not the pastor this morning. It's the faith that is in this room, and it is in Jesus' name that we all agree on. Amen? Amen. Amen. As they sing, you worship, you leave when you need to, but we're going to pray and ask God to meet our needs right here, right now, because we know He's able and capable.
Thank you for joining us today. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, text YES to 910-537-5773. We have some tools to help you on this new journey. If you would like to know more about Second Mile Church, text CONNECT to 910-537-5773. Thank you for going the second mile with us, and now it's time for you to go the second mile in your life.